words appear. Walt Disney Pictures presents Bruce Willis. A red biplane lifts off, its single propeller flashing. Sunlight paints the craft silver as it banks in the cloud-filled sky. Disney's The Kid. The biplane slices through the clouds to see the green terrain below. A Junction Entertainment production. Banking steeply, the craft rolls above the fluffy clouds. A John Turteltaub film. At an airport newsstand, a man in a dark suit selects magazines and takes them to a cashier.
I'm sorry, I can't seem to find my purse. I must have 10 of them.
Can you just ring mine first, please?
There's someone ahead of you, sir.
I usually keep my change in my little change bear, but...
That's almost interesting. How much is hers?
$5.26.
Just add it on, please.
Hold on. If it's not in this one, it'll be in another one.
That'll be $9.65.
Thank you very much.
How sweet! You didn't have to do that for me.
I didn't do it for you. Check some bags next time.
Chirp.
Starring Spencer Breslin, Emily Mortimer. On an airplane, the man reads Newsweek, whose cover reads, Governor Jane Camp, political favors for political friends. He drops it on her desk.
How can I help you, Governor?
Some dirtbag from the Attorney General's office has dared to mention the word jail.
She dabs her nose. Three aides stare at him.
Somebody call the ambulance.
What did you say?
Lily Tomlin. Chai McBride.
Governor, do you know what the number one killer of politicians under the age of 60 is?
No.
Self-pity. Now, Governor, I'll be more than happy to help you out of this mess that you so willingly seem to have stepped into. But you'll have to do something.
What's that?
Stop crying.
I'll try.
Well, I mean right now. You're giving me a headache.
Gene Smart. Dana Ivey. Daniel Von Bargen. Stanley Anderson. Susan Dalian. The man sits next to a blonde woman on a plane.
Excuse me, folks. Anything more to drink?
Do y'all have any single malt scotch?
Sure do.
So, what do you do for a living?
He rolls his eyes.
You want to tell me about it? Yeah, comfort of strangers and all that?
No.
Must be something on the internet. Or finance. Genetic engineering, maybe, huh?
I'm an image consultant, okay?
Okay.
The biplane soars over rolling green hills. Casting by Marcia Ross, Donna Moran, and Gail Goldberg. Music by Mark Shaman. Costumes designed by Gloria Gresham. The plane flies low past live oak trees. Edited by Peter Honus, David Rennie.
So you sort of troubleshoot for folks, you know, give them makeovers when they need revamping, right?
Right.
Hey, look, I'm flying to L.A. to start an anchor job in the local news, and I do not think that it's an accident that I'm sitting next to you.
I see. So the cosmic purpose of our meeting is for me to give you free advice. What do I get out of it?
We don't know yet. But I'll owe you.
Over the water, the biplane approaches the Santa Monica Pier. Production design, Gareth Stover. Director of photography, Peter Manzies, Jr. Executive producers, Arnold Rifkin, David Willis. It banks above the pier over the gray-blue water in the golden afternoon sun.
If I do it, will you shut up?
Quiet as the dead.
Your hair is too big, your brows are too dark, your nails are too long, and your foundation's too orange. Your perfume's too sweet. It's the news, honey, not the prom. I like your eyes.
Thank you.
Bluer. Try the tinted contacts. But only when you're anchoring or in L.A. You're on assignment, take them out.
What about my accent? I'm always being warned to stop saying y'all.
Don't ever stop saying y'all. Your y'all is your trademark. Say y'all and you'll be promoted in 6 months. Say y'all with a smile and you'll be famous in 12.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, will you please shut up?
The red wings move across the top of the Hollywood sign. produced by John Turtletown, Christina Steinberg, Hunt Lowry. Cars zip along the freeway in the Sepulveda Pass. Written by Audrey Wells. Installed traffic, the man on a cell phone sits in his black convertible.
All right, let me have it. Hello, Your Honor, how are you? Good, thank you. Fine, not exactly alone. Your Honor, was this mannequin inflatable? You know, if the press dodged one bullet, listen, this is all gonna blow over.
The biplane buzzes the convertible. Directed by John Turtletown.
12 cream pies are on their way over to the stadium. Bob Riley expects you in the owner's box at 3. Amy will meet you there. And why are you wearing the yellow tie?
Janet, how could you know I'm wearing my yellow tie? You can't even see me.
I can hear the stress in your voice. Whenever you're stressed, you wear the yellow tie, which makes you feel all-powerful. So you're probably going to yell at me, which I'm not in the mood for, so don't.
He walks in.
Nice tie.
I am not stressed. There is nothing wrong with me. I just didn't get enough sleep last night. Can I have today's work, please?
Take your phone off. You're with a human now. I did the ones and twos. There's a 3, a 4. I flagged the 5 in your mail. There's an 8 on your desk to sign. And there's a 10 standing in your office.
A gray-haired man inspects a bookcase. The man with the yellow tie rubs his left temple.
Why did you let him in my office, Janet?
He threatened me with a machete. He's your father, Russ.
Wait 60 seconds and come in and tell me I'm late for something. I hate you.
Fight fair.
Russ sits at his large, angular desk.
It's a nice photo. You an Al De Niro?
Robert De Niro.
Well, that's a nice photo of you and Robert De Niro.
Well, it would be, except that's Al Pacino.
Oh.
So, Dad, what can I do for you? Did you get the check I sent over this morning?
Yes, I did. But I didn't ask you for a check. I asked you to come over and help me lift a few things.
Well, time is money, Dad. And my time is worth a lot more than a mover's. So I'm afraid the check is going to have to do.
Your sister and her family coming over for dinner tomorrow night. You haven't seen your niece and nephew in a long time. You may want some of those things in the attic.
Like what, Dad? Some more of my childhood memorabilia?
You never know.
Russ looks up from his papers.
How many times in the last 20 years that you've lived in that house have I ever asked you for anything? Anything at all?
You're late for a very big meeting. Dozens of irate and highly important people are clamoring for you. There is pandemonium, I'm sure, somewhere. And you really must go. Right now.
Good luck with the move, Dad. I mean, how it goes.
Russ strides out the door. The biplane floats over Edison Field, over the top deck, and past palm trees. In the stadium.
Nice. Hey, Mike. Yeah, waiting for you.
Wait a minute.
A slender woman with a tripod and brown hair stops him.
Hello.
I haven't seen you in a couple of days, have you been?
Fine. Now can we go in?
No. This is the bit where you ask me.
We're very late. Don't have time
come
to...
Come on. Give it a whirl.
Hi, Amy. How are you doing?
Fine. We're really late.
Hey, the cavalry is here. Rush, Durritz to the rescue. Here to save my sorry behind. Josh, look after him.
Good luck.
Hi, I'm Josh, Mr. Riley's assistant. If you need anything...
I do. I need you to go up into the bleachers and find me a dozen 8 to 12-year-old kids. 8 boys, 4 girls. 5 white, 4 Latino, 3 black. I'm back here in 3 minutes.
Okay.
I need to use your high 8 for this one.
So why is everybody busting my chops? In the way I see this thing, just a little misunderstanding.
Okay, Bob, let me see if I can explain to you how other people see this little thing. You see, the Joe baseball fan out there, you're the guy that promised you would give 5% of each ticket sold this season to establishing a baseball camp for inner city kids. You're also the guy that gave pictures to the press of kids actually attending this camp, which in fact does not exist.
Yet. I was intending to get around to it, eventually. I am a very busy guy.
Russ writes on a pad.
No, Bob, you're not a busy man. You see, what you are is a stupid man, a very stupid guy who only played Mr. Charitable because you wanted to suck up the city council so they'd build you a brand new baseball park. But guess what? Bye-bye ballpark. Hello, jail.
Bob scowls.
So what's your big plan?
How do you feel about chocolate cream pie?
On a video camera screen, children surround Bob.
More pie in the face. Bob, the press is going to eat this up. Amy, what do you think? Amy?
You want to know what I think? I think there's something very creepy about all this.
At a sushi bar.
Amy, I swear to you, I will make sure that the editing of this tape is handled tastefully, okay?
I'm sure you will.
No, I promise. We didn't do anything wrong today.
No.
We did the right thing by our client, Bob Riley.
I love him. Russ, today we shamelessly exploited innocent children just to help some crook with his cash flow problems.
You're gonna finish this last piece of yellow tape.
Russ, you should be concerned about this. You're turning 40 on Thursday.
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
When...
And what, and you're not at
Yes, we both are. When we can't go around anymore talking about what we're going to be like when we grow up. We are up.
Is that it?
Yeah.
You finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Good. Toshia, if you get called a jerk 4 times in the same day, does that make it true?
What, only 4? Did you get up late?
Excuse me. I'm asking Toshia.
Just 4 times a pattern. It has to be 5 times to be a fact.
Thank you very much. You see, there is hope.
Jerk.
Thank you.
Russ drops money on the bar and picks up the video cassette.
Yo, Pedro. Make sure this gets in the trash.
The busboy catches the cassette in the trash can. Russ strolls out. Amy follows, outside.
That was fantastic. You just did such a fantastic thing.
Me neither. I must really be stressed out.
The busboy upends the can into a dumpster.
Probably still in there.
You are not going dumpster diving to look for that stinky fish encrusted tape.
You're right. I should go in there. Wearing a $2,000 suit. Come on, I'll give you a boost.
Come on. Distract yourself. Honor your instincts. Look at the moon. Look at it.
What?
Look.
Colored lights twinkle on the pier.
Isn't it lovely? It's big, it's beautiful, it's revolving around the Earth, proving once again that the universe does not revolve around you. Worth a look, if you ask me. Are you looking?
I looked.
Look again.
Okay, Amy. Fooling around, all right? I looked. Okay. Can we go?
Come on, Grumpy.
Hey, you stop?
I stopped.
I want to show you something. Tell me if you think this is cute. Oh, look at the moon. It's so big and round. And when I look at it, I'm all perky and excited. And no one would ever know that I'm almost 30. Woo-hoo! What do you think? Cute or just stupid?
Her face falls. She leaves.
You know, Russ, just when I think I've seen the worst, that there's no possible way you could be more of a jerk. You outdo yourself. And then, just when I'm about to leave, you do something. Like tonight, when you threw that tape away. And I get the tiniest, briefest glimpse of the kid in you. That's when I decide to hang around for 5 more minutes. And see what happens next. Bye.
Through swinging gates, Russ enters a driveway of a well-lit house. the headlights catch a figure in a red jacket darting in front of the car. Inside the house.
Janet, I want you on the phone with the alarm company first thing in the morning, okay? There is no way anybody should ever get inside those gates. Ever. As a matter of fact, get them on the phone right now and you tell them that...
It's 3 a.m.
Janet, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's supposed to be a 24-hour security service, okay? I want the sensitivity set on 10. I want electrocution. I want charred flesh. Do you understand?
Write it down, Janet.
Charred flesh.
Write it down.
It was probably just some neighborhood kid. I don't know why you're so upset.
I'm not upset. I'm just mad.
Okay. Mad, not upset.
You know, maybe we should get a new security company, okay?
Uh-huh.
I want Rottweilers. I want big, scary Rottweilers. I want the guy who trains the Rottweilers to be afraid to come over here, okay? I want a moat with lava.
Moat with lava. Trolls with that? Evil ones?
No, Janet, no trolls.
Hello? Russ, it's Dad.
Hold on a second, Janet.
Honey, I'm so sorry.
I know I asked earlier, but it'd be nice to have you here for dinner. I know Joanna and the kids love to see you. And, if your schedule opens up.
Janet, I am going to bed.
Good idea. Me too.
I do not wish to talk to you or anyone else on this planet for the next 3 hours.
Guess what? Neither do I.
Goodbye.
Wearing a t-shirt, he climbs into bed. Russ sleeps with a finger on his nose. In the hall. In a blue plaid robe, Russ wields a baseball bat. From the landing, he sees a round-faced boy in a red jacket playing with a red airplane. The boy drops the plane and runs across the room. Russ hurries down the stairs. The boy climbs out a kitchen window. Russ grabs a foot and receives a punch to the face through the blinds. On his red bike, the boy pedals away.
Hey!
Still in his robe, Russ gets in the convertible. With headlamp shining, the boy streaks down the street. Russ backs out of the driveway, through the gates, and pursues. The boy runs a red light, weaving between passing cars. Russ brakes as the boy reaches the other side. Russ crosses and speeds down a side street by a parking lot. The boy winds among the cars and back onto a street. Russ's headlights round the corner behind him. The boy stops and drops his bike. He forces his pudgy form through a gap in the locked chain-link fence.
Hey! Hey!
Russ squeezes through and clambers up an incline to an airport. Small planes line wide taxiways. Russ runs onto the runway. He turns and hits the ground as a red biplane taxis over with him lying between the wheels. He rolls away and spies the boy who enters the Skyway Diner. A red light scans the diner as Russ jogs toward it. In the diner.
Good evening. A kid just ran in here a moment ago. And any of you see anything? Can any of you see anything? Because this kid who, was just here.
He looks over the counter.
See you later.
A policeman leaves.
Hey!
Russ searches the tarmac. He turns. The diner is gone. A sign on a door reads, Psychotherapy Associates.
Good morning, doctor. I'd like to get right to the point if you don't mind. I've got a meeting in 10 minutes.
You're entitled to a 50-minute hour.
Thank you, but I only require a 5-minute hour, or however long it takes you to write a prescription.
I see. We should talk about this. Why don't you sit down?
No, thank you. I don't want to sit down. It all starts with sitting down. You sit down, and then before you know it, 12 years has gone by, and you're still talking about the time you saw your mother naked in the shower.
You saw your mother naked in the shower?
No! I'm just saying I'm happy to stand, okay? Look, I don't want therapy. I don't need therapy.
Why do you feel that way?
Because I'm not like the other nutballs that roll through here, okay? I don't have a smoking problem. I don't have a drinking problem. I don't have a closet full of ladies' undergarments.
Sit down, Mr. Duritz, and tell me what the problem is.
He starts to sit.
No, you don't!
Mr. Duritz, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to understand your issues.
Issue? Issue, singular, just one.
All right. What is it?
For the last few weeks, I have been seeing a guy in a plane.
Oh, I see.
Not that kind of seeing. I mean, I've been hallucinating a guy in a plane. And these delusions, or whatever it is you people call them, seem to be getting worse. Anyway, now I'm seeing a kid.
And you think this kid is a hallucination too?
Yes.
Is he someone you knew from your past? From your childhood?
No, not from my childhood. I've forgotten my childhood. My childhood is in the past where it belongs.
But it doesn't want to stay in the past, does it?
Russ rubs his left eye.
Mr. Duritz, I notice your eye is twitching.
I don't have a tick.
I didn't say you had a tick.
It's not a tick. I have dry eyes. Why are you asking me about my dry eyes?
Why are you so upset?
Because I'm having hallucinations! And I'm asking you to make them go away with very powerful medication that I can pick up on my way to work. Please, ma'am.
She looks down, then picks up a pad.
Mr. Duritz, you will pick up your powerful medicine, and then you will go home and take the rest of the day off.
Yes, ma'am.
This is for a total of 4 pills. They will help to keep you calm until tomorrow at 4:00, at which time I expect to see you back here in my office for an appointment, which you must promise to keep.
Yes, ma'am.
You are having these hallucinations for a reason.
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Duritz, you need to figure out what that reason is.
Thank you.
Russ snatches the prescription from her and leaves.
You're the most hot girl.
Why won't he just say what I told him to say?
He's an actor. He's improvising.
Well, give me his cell phone number.
They won't let him take his cell phone to the set.
Well, just get me any number, okay, Janet? Coast Guard, the police. Just get me a number before he spontaneously combusts.
Let me see if I can get the power taken out in Atlanta.
Let's go. Okay, go. Okay, got it. Bye.
A chair facing the TV swivels. Russ raises the portable phone and approaches. Popcorn flies from a bowl.
You!
Don't come out, I'll clean it out.
Don't move! Look, this has just got to stop, okay? This is wrong. You can't just go around breaking into people's houses like this. It's against the law. I'm just gonna call the police now, all right? Tell them.
Slouched in the chair, sprinkled with popcorn, the boy's brown eyes regard Russ. The boy's left eyebrow raises.
Do I know you?
I don't know.
Russ rubs his left eye.
Why do you keep coming back here?
The boy sits up, spilling more popcorn.
I came back to get my plane. And then I saw the popcorn.
Your plane?
My mom gave it to me for Christmas. How'd you get it?
That's my plane.
Russ sinks into a sofa.
Look, right here, Rusty.
Russ.
Russell Morley Durrance.
I hate that stupid name. How'd you know my name?
Mother's name is Gloria. Your father's name is Sam.
How do you know all that?
Your sister's name is Joanne.
But everybody calls her Josie.
The boy's mouth hangs open. The boy moves closer to Russ. Russ opens his shirt collar to reveal a birthmark on his neck. The boy pulls down his red and gold striped shirt. He has an identical one. Russ yanks up his right pant leg. A puckered scar is on his shin. The boy has one too. Together they raise their hands, fingers splayed and flexed. The boy holds up a jar of mustard.
Get out! Okay, hallucination? Get out!
Am I having a nightmare?
No, you are not having a nightmare, you see. You do not exist. I am having a nightmare, okay? In my nervous breakdown. This is my first nervous breakdown, so I'm not quite sure how they're supposed to go. But I'm pretty sure that I'm dreaming, you understand? Dreaming, 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 okay?
I don't think you're dreaming, because you're talking and your eyes sort of twitching.
Hey! I don't have time to go crazy, okay? So if you want me to go crazy, you're gonna have to get on the phone and call Janet, just like everybody else, and schedule an appointment!
Good. Okay. Make contact with the outside world.
Hi, Janet. Hi. It's Russ. No, no, good. Uh-huh, nothing, fine. No, I just came upstairs to return my calls. You want to hear something funny? I was downstairs, and now I'm upstairs.
Hey.
You see?
You dropped this.
The boy dangles a tomato slice.
Safety and sandwich. Safety and sandwich. Safety!
In the bathroom.
Sandwich.
Russ fumbles with a pill container.
You are just a hallucination!
He drops the pills.
One that is about to disappear.
One by one, he picks them up and puts them in his mouth.
Prepare to disappear! Disappear. I'm sitting on the floor, taking the very powerful medication. Just waiting for it to kick in. Prepare to disappear!
He sits on the floor by the door. He slides it open and peers through the crack.
Disappeared? Very powerful medicine seems to be working.
He opens it wider. The boy sits on the floor at the foot of the bed.
I'm still here.
The boy hangs his head. Russ covers his face with his hands and closes the door. In an underground parking garage, Janet, in a long black skirt and matching shawl, has a gold wedding band on her finger. She looks around the deserted space. Russ peeks out from behind a square concrete pillar. He approaches Janet.
I'm not throwing your dismembered enemies into the dumpster. I've got my limits.
The boy appears from behind the pillar. Janet darts her eyes at Russ. He puts his hand up, palm out. The boy stops. Janet wiggles two fingers at him. The boy holds up two fingers in a V.
You can see him?
Yes, I can.
You can see a little boy standing there.
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Russ leads Janet to the boy.
This little boy is me at age 8. I want you to make him disappear.
He's you?
Yeah.
At age 8? And you want me to make him disappear?
Please.
How was the therapist this morning?
Do it, Janet.
How am I supposed to make the kid disappear?
You are the assistant. Figure it out, okay?
You yelled at me. That is great. That helps. I'm thinking more clearly. I feel I'm just more in touch with my magic assistant powers.
She waves her shawl over the boy.
Delicazam kazoo.
Boom.
Presto.
Hi.
Didn't work. I should have worn my magic bra and panties.
Get in the car. I'm really disappointed in you, Janet.
Oh, fired, I hope.
No, forget about your bonus.
Oh, boo-hoo. What about my dental? My boss appears to have lost his mind. Sure you wouldn't rather stay here with me?
I'll be okay.
Just try and remember where you live, okay?
You should know that.
Well, I don't know that. We moved 12 times.
We move a dozen times?
Yes, a dozen is 12. We moved 12 times.
What happens?
What happens? A big truck comes, they put all your stuff inside, and you move to another house. 12 times.
Look, there it is right there. Remember it now?
A gray house with white trim sits on a corner. A palm tree grows near the sidewalk.
No.
Look, that's where we fell off the roof last year. That's the bush we fell into. That's where the really big possum crawled under the house. Remember?
Yeah, that was one of life's big events, when the possum crawled under the house. How could I forget?
You don't remember the possum? It was like this big, and it had really long teeth. He took our sneaker in his mouth and ran off with it. You've got to remember that.
Hey, I don't remember the possum, okay? I hardly remember living here at all. But you do, and that's all that counts. Get out.
Wait. The house is different. Who are they?
Three people leave the house.
What am I gonna do?
Russ and the boy rub their faces.
What now?
Will you knock off the waterworks, okay? You know what the number one killer of kids under the age of 8 is? Self-pity. You're already pitiful enough.
Well, at least I don't do this.
He winks his left eye and smacks his face.
Nice.
At Russ's house.
Chester! Here, boy. Come on, Chester. Chester! Here, boy. Come on, Chester!
Russ slumps on a sofa.
Chester! Come on, Chester! Chester! Here, boy! Come on, Chester! Chester!
Kid, will you stop that yelling?
Chester!
Hey! Now!
Where's Chester?
Who is Chester?
My dog. The dog I'm going to get when I grow up. Oh. The world's greatest dog. The one who rides in the back of my truck, plays frisbee, goes everywhere I go. Chester!
Bad news, kid. No dog here.
What do you mean?
I mean no dog. There's no dog here. I don't own a dog.
No dog? No dog? I grew up to be a
guy with no dog?
That's right.
Why don't I have a dog?
Because I don't want a dog, okay? I can't take care of a dog. Travel all the time for work.
Travel for work? I grow up to fly jets, right? I knew it. I knew I would grow up to fly jets.
No.
No, I don't fly jets?
Not really, no.
What do I do then?
You're an image consultant.
What's that?
It's...
What does a consultant do?
Consult.
But what do I do?
You don't do anything. You tell other people what to do. That's the fun of it. You boss people around. Like this. Stop talking.
Shouldn't there be a lady here somewhere?
What do you mean, a lady living here? No, I live alone.
I thought you said you were 40.
I said I was almost 40. So?
So, I'm 40, I'm not married, I don't fly jets, and I don't have a dog?
The boy drops into a chair.
I grow up to be a loser.
Russ looks away. Daytime at Russ's. Russ searches the house.
Kid?
He checks the patio.
Maybe Russ here can explain it a little bit better than I've been able to. Russ?
At a restaurant.
Here's how we see things, Mr. Vivian.
Call me Vivian.
Okay. Vivian, you're going public, you're making an IPO, your software is brilliant, and that's all great. But if you want to make Fortune 500, you have to understand that at a certain point, people are going to want to get a good look at you. And that's where things get a little dicey.
Dicey. That's right. Very, very dicey.
I don't see why I have to change a thing.
Okay. Let's look at this. You live in a cabin.
I won't cut my hair, and I won't shave my beard.
Let me give it to you straight, ZZ. If you want to ride your cow to farm aid, you don't have to change a thing. But if you want to make the front page of the Wall Street Journal, there is one thing you're going to have to change.
Russ sees the boy outside the restaurant. Amy glances at Russ. The boy claps his hands over his head. He hops and points. The people at the table turn to stare at him.
Someone you know?
What?
Friend of yours?
No. It's a little boy. I don't know any little kids.
I'm starving!
Just tragic that parents would send their kids out to beg like that.
Very, very sad.
Can't believe it.
Excuse me for just a moment, please.
What are you doing here? I thought you disappeared.
I don't know how to disappear. I'm hungry.
Hello. I'm Amy. Who are you?
I'm Rusty.
And who is Rusty?
My nephew.
Your nephew?
Yes. My sister's kid.
The one who's going to college in the autumn?
No. The other one.
Melissa?
Yes, Amy.
This is Melissa.
No, it is the other one. The one she doesn't like to talk about.
Oh, I see. Which completely explains why you never told me about him.
Well, maybe I don't tell you everything.
So are you having fun with your uncle?
Not really. He made me sleep outside. He didn't give me any breakfast. And he doesn't have a dog.
That is a problem. You made him sleep outside.
He slept in a tent.
You've got a tent?
It was his tent.
You didn't give him any breakfast.
You can stand to miss a meal.
Rusty, are you hungry?
Starved.
Let's go and get some bacon and eggs.
No. Rusty can't have bacon and eggs. I've got to get him back to his mom right now.
Don't forget Kenny's this afternoon. Bye, Rusty.
Bye.
Nice to meet you.
The biplane waggles its wings at the high-rise buildings in downtown L.A. Russ and Rusty exit one.
Just get that moony look off your face.
I like that Amy lady. I bet she likes dogs.
I don't know what's worse, the fact that I'm stuck with you or the idea that I don't know what to do about it.
Why don't we eat something?
Why?
because you don't know what to do? You just want to stuff your face?
No, because it says to, up there in the sky.
Eat here with an arrow points down. The diner is on the street in front of them.
Okay. Why don't we eat something?
What can I get you?
I'll have French toast, pancakes, and bacon.
Just bring him something healthy, okay?
Sorry, sir. We only serve starchy, sugary, salty food, high in fat and cholesterol that tastes delicious. Right? Comforts people deep down inside.
Okay, I'll have French toast, pancakes, and bacon.
You want a milkshake with that?
Chocolate, please. Extra whipped cream.
And for you?
You know, I think I just like the magic bean omelet.
Oh, did somebody not get their coffee today? I'm gonna go get it.
Maybe you can bring it before the diner disappears. What are you looking at, Sparky?
A man in the next booth looks over at them.
What are you doing here?
Having French toast, pancakes, and bacon.
That's not what I'm talking about. What did you come here for?
I don't know. Model airplane?
Well, you already got that. And we're still screwed up. We're even more screwed up than we were before. What am I gonna do with you?
What do you wanna do with me?
I wanna put you on a diet, chubby. Fix you up so you aren't such a pathetic loser. This is what I do for a living, okay? Making people look good is what I do. The problem is, there's so much to do with you, I don't know where to start.
Well, I'd like to not get my butt kicked so much. Kids are always laughing at us. It sort of hurts my feelings.
Why didn't I think of this before? This is what you came for, okay? I just gotta teach you how to fight. And by the way, they're not laughing at us, they're laughing at you. When you get to be me, they laugh, they die.
By a pool.
I'm just gonna have one more piece with this. I just want just one more piece.
Hey!
Oh, God.
Please tell me that's not... Hey! 5 weeks away from defending your title. What are you doing eating?
But I'm a nervous eater. You'd be nervous, too, if you was getting married tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd be nervous that my bride would dump me because I'm a big, fat tub of lard. Hi, Giselle.
Hi, Russ.
Rusty eyes the pizza.
What is that? Is that 20 more pounds?
No.
Hey!
Damn, he won't even let you eat, huh?
Does he look like he needs any pizza?
Who is he?
This is Russ's nephew, Rusty.
Oh, I didn't know you had two nephews. Ah, look, baby, look.
Like Adonis. Mm.
Hey, Adonis. Adonis.
What?
Here's your boxing ring. Maybe Pudge Boy hears some lessons. Maybe you could step in and show him a few moves.
Yeah, I would be glad to. That way, you can punch his lights out the next time he tries to call you Pudge Boy.
Groovy.
Rusty wears red headgear and gloves.
First things first. You trying to get knocked out or something? All right, well, then get your hands up then. You got to protect that chin. I pop you on that chin. That's it. Remember, this is number one. This is number two. You punch one, two. One, two. Go ahead, try it. One. That's it. Come on. Get out of the way.
Come on.
Rusty pummels Russ's gloves. Come on. Russ clouts him on the head.
You hit me.
Yes, unfortunately, I did hit you. But I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Or maybe I will. Come on, fight. Damn it. Come on. Come on. Come on, kid. Fight. Come on. Come
on. One, two. One, two.
Go on, Rusty. Punch his lights out.
Hey, what side do you want?
Throw it.
Rusty lands a jab in Russ's groin.
Take it easy, little Tyson. You're going to be next. Bite his ear off. We don't hit him when they're down.
They hit me when I'm down.
Whoa. Who?
Kid, that's school.
Kid's having some trouble at school.
Well, why didn't you say that, Russ? I'm teaching the boy boxing, he don't need that. He needs street fighting. Why don't you show him that WWF scissors hole? Show him that one.
Here we go. Ready?
Whoa! Now that I can use.
They sit on the mat and wipe their noses with their red gloves.
If you noticed how alike those two are, it makes sense. They're related, right? I suppose so.
Russ Durrett's office, how may I help you?
Yeah, it's me. What's up?
Oh, it's you.
I hadn't heard from you in 4 hours. I assumed you were dead. Hey, how's Minnie you?
That's hilarious, Janet.
What's up?
You got 19 messages last count.
Do you want them?
Let me have them.
Let's see. Bob Riley.
Bob Riley, I'm sure there's another one in here. Just a second. Here's Bob Riley.
Hey!
Hey, Amy, where are you going?
My place is some ice cream. See you there.
Ice cream?
Bye.
Amy and Rusty drive off. Rusty considers her.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you our girlfriend?
That's a funny way of putting it.
Mostly, no.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you our nephew?
Mostly. No.
But you are related, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
How close?
Pretty.
How close is pretty close?
Pretty darn.
God.
Hi.
He's your son.
What?
He's your son. You have
hey,
a son. You,
get off of me.
And all this time you never even breathed the word. And you're some deadbeat dad who had visitation rights today or something.
Amy, do you know how...
Who's the mother anyway? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I know. It's that Swedish chick, isn't it? Yeah. That Ingersborg or Smorgasbord or whatever her name is. Not that
Amy?
I care, of course, about who or where or what you do.
Amy, he is not Swedish.
And I'm not his son. Honest.
Then who are you?
Rusty shifts his weight from one foot to the other. Russ glares at him.
Russ? Because I've been watching the two of you together, and I swear to God, there's something very strange going on.
We have to tell her.
We are not going to tell her.
Tell me what?
Come on, do it!
Hey, zip it! We're not going to tell her, okay? Besides, she won't believe us anyway. She'll just think you take after me.
Then do the knuckle.
It's not going to convince her.
Then tell her something only I would know, and then she can ask me about the same thing, like Aunt Spazzy.
How is that going to work? Think about it.
Then show her the scar.
Anybody could have a scar.
What about the birthmark?
Well, that could be a coincidence, too.
I know she'll believe us.
She is not going to believe us.
I know she'll believe us.
She is not going to believe us.
She will.
She won't.
She will.
She won't.
She will.
Hey!
I wish I was standing on a carpet.
Amy faints. They mirror each other's gestures.
Told ya.
Amy.
Mistress.
Aboard that ship and the quick process the potatoes.
Rusty surfs Amy's TV. Amy and Russ watch from across the room.
Stop biting.
Leave me alone. I'm advertising terror and bewilderment.
Holy smokes. 99 channels and there's nothing on.
He drops the remote.
How can this be?
I have no idea. Look at him. It's so embarrassing.
You're not embarrassing. You're adorable. Then. You're adorable then.
Stop picking! Look at that haircut. Look like Herman's Hermits.
I speak like I got a mouthful of spit.
Of course you do.
Doesn't the fact that I'm a pathetic dweeb make you despise me?
She raises her brows and stares at him.
No. Why? Do you despise you?
When I look at him, all I see are awful memories. Memories I've been spending most of my life trying to forget.
I'm sorry.
Russ gives Amy a sideways glance and the hint of a smile. He He checks his watch and reaches for his phone.
Hello? Kenny, nauseous about the wedding tomorrow? Oh my God, the wedding tomorrow. Hang on a minute. The wedding tomorrow? What am I going to do with him?
Take him with us.
What? To an important event? Are you out of your mind? Take him with us? This is an important event with people who respect me. He's going to humiliate me.
Hey!
What happened to...
Rusty, in a tux, swipes some frosting from the wedding cake and spills it on his coat. He takes the red show hanky and rubs.
Don't worry. Just take it off and shove it under the table while no one's looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Rusty removes the coat.
Where did it go?
Where did it go?
Yesterglow.
Coatless, Rusty looks from Amy kissing a photographer to Russ dancing with a large black woman. Amy greets Kenny and Giselle. Rusty's eyes dart to Russ, who laughs. Amy admires Giselle's ring. Rusty's eyes widen.
You're interrupting us. We're dancing.
But it's really important.
Not now, kid.
But it's really, really...
Russ glares. Rusty leaves.
Driving you crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It's different when they're your own. Speaking of which, when are you going to give up your evil ways and settle down?
As soon as you become available again, Clarissa.
I'm serious.
So am I.
Rusty lays a peach-colored rose on Amy's lap.
Big one.
Okay.
He drops to one knee.
What about that pretty woman you came with today?
Me and Amy? Yeah, we work together. I've known her for a really long time.
I know we haven't known each other very long.
Don't worry about me. When I meet the right person, I'm sure I'll get around to asking.
In case I never get around to asking.
Somebody's making the move right now.
Amy? Will you marry me?
Okay, let's go.
Hey!
Let me go, you big jerk! Wait a minute, stop. He asked me a question. Don't you want to know what I was going to say?
No.
No?
No. He had no right asking you what he did, okay? You and I aren't
even... Well, we are!
Since when?
M-Y-O-B!
What?
Mind your own beeswax. Do you or do you not want to know what I was going to say?
What were you going to say?
Yeah, what were you going to say?
Try it again. Less practiced indifference, more warmth.
What were you going to say?
What were you going to say?
So you want to know what I was going to say?
Take a walk.
I'm the one who asked her.
Just go away.
Rusty screws up his face and points at Russ, then leaves.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'll have to think about it.
Oh, really?
Yes, because impossibly what had previously seemed to me to be the worst idea in the universe has, over the last 12 hours, transmogrified into not such a terrible idea, opening up a very small window of opportunity for you.
For me?
Yeah.
Ah. And what if I didn't want to take advantage of this opportunity?
Part of you obviously wants to, and it is that part of you that is causing me to think about it.
Russ looks down, then up into her face.
Are you asking me to think about it?
Wait a minute. You just wait. I'm gonna go get the valet, the car from the...
She bites her nail.
was ready to start. Oh, yeah, before the game is set, the visiting Orioles, Riley invited a dozen kids to barrage him with chocolate cream pies as a way to say, I'm sorry, for what he claims is a simple case of miscommunication.
Crawled through the dumpster behind the bar after I left.
He swallows. She looks back at the TV.
I shot that. I'm part of this. Tommy, do you know for certain that he turned the funds over, or is he maybe still sitting on them?
Poor little Amy. Mixed up with a rotten boss. Feels obligated to his clients. You know what the number one killer of young men...
Russ, the person I am pitying here is not me. Look, it's all my fault. I made the big, stupid mistake. I thought you'd change.
Russ looks down.
I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry.
She rubs Rusty's cheek.
Do you want to know what the saddest part of this whole thing is? You could have been great.
Russ drops his gaze. Amy leaves. Rusty glances at Russ, then hops off the bar stool and marches away. In the car.
Man! When do we ever stop blowing it? Russ, we've got to change. We have to change.
At the house. Russ makes a bed on the sofa.
It's our birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What happens next?
What do you mean?
I mean to me. Between being me and becoming you, what happens? Do I ever do anything right?
Sure you do. You do a lot of things right.
Like what?
Well, make it through grade school alive. Barely. In high school, while you're still a loser, you're no longer stupid. You work your butt off, you get good grades, very good grades. You end up winning a scholarship to UCLA.
I'm smart?
Very smart. But you're still a loser. Hop in. Scoot over. College, things start to get a little bit better. Join the track team, find a speech therapist, continue to work your butt off, and you graduate at the top of your class. You eventually go after a master's degree in business.
Where I worked my butt off.
Story of your life, kid. The good news is that while you are currently a pathetic dweeb, eventually you grow up to be me, a high-powered, affluent chick magnet.
Who doesn't have a dog or a chick?
Is that how you see me? Dogless, chickless guy?
With the twitch.
Right.
When do I get that?
I forget.
When do I learn how to drive?
When you're 16.
When do I get a car?
When you're 18.
When do I get a hickey?
When you're 17.
When do I find out what a hickey is?
Not tonight.
Russ pats Rusty's head.
Russ?
Yeah, kid.
I get what you do now. I mean, I get what I do. When I grow up for a living, I figured out how to explain.
Let me hear it.
You help people lie about who they really are so that they can pretend to be someone else, right?
Yeah.
See? It's not hard to explain.
It's pretty good.
Good night, buddy.
Good night, kid.
Russ sits in a chair, holding the airplane.
This is ABC 7 Los Angeles. Now, Eyewitness News.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Harold Green.
Good evening, y'all. I'm Deirdre LeFevre. Tonight's top story, another high-speed chase.
At the studio.
I know. Thanks, Don. See you tomorrow.
I heard the y'all. Works.
Well, it's Mr. Image Consultant. So, what do you think? Don't tell me. My hair's still too big.
No, it looks good. Can I buy a cup of coffee? Comfort of strangers and all that?
If what you're telling me is true, that has got to be the strangest thing I've ever heard. It makes perfect sense to me.
It does.
Why wouldn't your 8-year-old self time travel here to give you a hand? I mean, you're obviously in trouble. He could straighten you out.
You think he's here to straighten me out?
Oh, of course. You didn't think it was the other way around, did you? Maybe he's here for you to teach him some things. But maybe he's here for you to remember some things. Ever thought about that?
Not until just now, no.
Darling, look. You're turning 40 tomorrow. You haven't acquired a single thing of real value in your life. And no, money doesn't count. You're virtually friendless. You barely talk to your family. And you've just lost the only woman in the world who's ever meant anything to you.
Who, Amy? Please. Look, she's not the only woman in the world, okay? She works for me. She's neurotic. She bites her nails. Nail. This one.
He pounds his forehead.
Excuse me, while he's getting a clue, could I get a warm-up, please? Thank you. Okay, don't stop, go on. What's it like?
Keeps asking about his future. My past. I haven't really told him much.
Good.
Good? You think that's good? Why? What would you do?
If little Deirdre was suddenly here, bursting out of her St. Mary's uniform, asking me what comes next?
Yeah.
I'd say, baby, don't you worry about a thing. Everything is just gonna be great. I mean, how many of us turn out the way we think we will when we're kids, really? I mean, how many of us grow up to be astronauts? Or prima ballerinas. We just all do the best we can.
They smile at one another. She checks his watch.
Time for me to take Big Deirdre home. You know, if you want to learn about your childhood, it seems like you're online with a pretty good source, you know what I mean?
Yes, I am. Deirdre, thanks for taking the time to help.
Well, don't ever stop asking for help, Russ. You just might get it.
Thanks.
You take care.
She kisses his cheek.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
At the house.
Hi, Janet, it's me. I'm sorry to call so late.
It's okay, Russ. I think I'll recover.
I just want you to cancel all my appointments tomorrow and move them to Friday.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks, Janet. Good night.
Rusty sleeps with his finger alongside his nose. Russ carefully sits next to him.
to help me with something? I think it might get you back to your time.
Sure.
Good.
They dunk cookies in milk.
Anything about me?
Yeah. Anything that'll take me back.
You know how I like to find caterpillars and put them in jars and feed them? And watch them make cocoons? And then one day, they break out and it's really cool.
Tell me some more about Dad.
Sometimes, he lets me help him work on the car. But if I do something wrong, he yells at me. Sometimes he buys me ice cream afterwards. But still, I don't like messing up. Like last week, I lost the screw. I was afraid to tell him. I found it later on in my pocket. Look, I still have it. I'm afraid to give it back to him.
Daytime.
Remember him?
In the car.
No, I don't.
His house smells like fish sticks.
No.
Well, he was my best friend until he started hanging out with Vince and these other creepy guys. He threw a rock at me, and we haven't been friends since then.
He threw a rock at us?
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
Those guys get together every recess in the corner of the playground yard where they like to pick on kids.
Back behind the kindergarten?
Yeah, where the yard monitor can't see you.
Where that big sliding board is?
Yeah, the real youth one, you're remembering.
Go on, don't stop.
There's four of them, and if they don't like you, they make your life a nightmare!
In a tunnel. A golden retriever passes in the back of a red pickup truck.
And the worst thing about them is they're really mean to animals. Especially this one three-legged dog.
Tripod! Tripod! The dog's name is Tripod! I know the dog's name! I know everything, kid. I know why you're here. This is the event. Vince Kaczynski, the fight. The fight. It was my 8th birthday. It was 32 years ago. Today.
The biplane passes as they exit the tunnel.
Holy smokes.
Russ pulls over.
Look at the car.
The convertible is 30 years younger.
Look at your
Russ wears a brown sweater over a yellow knit shirt.
Holy smokes! What are you doing, kid?
My home is a really 1968!
A VW van painted with flowers passes.
No doubt about it, kid. What time's recess?
10:30.
Hang on, kid. We got 15 minutes to change our life. Hey, now listen. It's gonna happen real fast. You gotta remember what Kenny told you, all right? One, two. Keep your head down. Keep swinging.
Children race onto the playground.
Look, look, look! There's a really big slide, remember?
It used to be a lot bigger. Here's what I remember. Some really bad guys tie up that three-legged dog Tripod, and when you try to stop him, you get really thrashed.
Oh, no. Do I save him?
No. You go down after only one punch, thereby solidifying your reputation as a loser for the next 8 years all the way through high school and ruining our lives from that moment on.
Oh, holy smokes.
Any second now, Vince Kaczynski and his cohorts are going to come around that corner.
Look, there they are.
Hey, move!
They're going to say something to you to get you to come over there. But once you get back there, they have Tripod tied up. Any questions?
Yeah. What's a cohort?
Hey, Rusty, come over here! It's your birthday, right? We got a present for you!
Look, kid. You don't have to do this at all. You don't have to fight today.
Come on, hurry up!
No. If I don't go against them today, I'll have to fight tomorrow or the next day. And today, you're here with me.
That's right. I'm here with you today.
can do it. Don't be afraid.
Here I come!
Be right here.
Rusty steps onto the playground. He turns back and gives a thumbs up. Russ returns it.
What took you so long?
Vince wraps his arm over Rusty's shoulders. They pass a sandbox. Russ keeps pace with them outside the fence. Rusty looks to Russ, then looks down. Rusty and the boys pass into a smaller yard.
Come on, man. It'll be great. Why don't you go?
Yeah, it'll be fun. There's your present.
A dog with firecrackers around his neck is tied to a pole.
What are you doing?
This stinking three-legged dog's worthless. We'll see him run. Light the firecrackers.
Let the dog go. You guys are dirtbags. What'd you call us? Dirtbags!
A shove sends Rusty to the ground.
What a dope.
Russ holds his fists up to his face.
Oh, that's how it's going to be.
A fist to the stomach and Rusty doubles over. Vince locks an arm around Rusty's head. They scuffle. Rusty hits the ground. Russ looks down. Backed up against a wall, Rusty covers his face while Vince, lip cut, pounds Rusty's middle. Russ mouths 1, 2. Two jabs to Vince's chin and he's on the ground. Rusty sits on him.
No! Apologize! No! Stay off, go! Apologize!
Uncle, I'm sorry!
Rusty unties the dog.
You won the fight. You really did it.
I did it. That's all. I did what I had to do. Everything's going to be different now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Over.
That is all. Yes.
That's all right.
A man and woman head their way from the building.
Oh, no.
What?
It's not over. This gets worse, kid. Much worse.
What are you talking about? I won the fight.
It wasn't the fight. That wasn't it. It's not over.
Rusty sits with an ice bag.
Ice on the ice, son.
Russ watches through a window from outside.
Mr. Branch, I put all the reports on your desk.
A woman passes. Russ steps closer.
Mom,
I'm sorry.
Oh,
it's okay.
It's okay. I'm sorry you had to come in, Mrs. Dort. You don't know you haven't been well.
Please, don't punish him, Mr. Branch. It's his birthday today.
A van stops at the Gray house.
Your mind.
I'm fine.
You stay there.
Please don't scare him. He's had a hard day.
The doctor said you wanted to leave the house.
Russ watches.
What is the matter with you?
I'm sorry.
How can you do this to your mother? What are you trying to do? Kill her faster?
What?
We're gonna lose. You did today. You're killing her.
I found the screw, Dad. Look, the screw.
Stop crying.
Here's the screw, Dad. Look, here it is. Here it is. I found it.
Stop
Please,
crying.
Dad, look at the screw. Here it is.
Stop crying. Stop. You gotta grow up now. Do you understand? Just grow up. Grow up.
Rusty blinks, and his left eye twitches. Russ's mouth quivers. Tears streak Rusty's cheek as he looks at Russ. Rusty drifts over and wipes his nose.
Mom's dying.
I know.
Soon?
Yeah. Before your next birthday.
Did I do it?
You didn't do it.
Russ embraces Rusty.
It's not your fault. Dad was just saying those things because he's scared. Because he knows that he has to raise you alone. He doesn't know how to do it.
I thought you never cried.
Not since my 8th birthday. Guess I'm starting up again. I just figured out where I got that twitch from.
Somebody called the ambulance.
Yeah. Gonna need him now, huh?
Rusty hugs Russ.
Come on. I'm gonna get out of here. Let's go. Let's go get something to eat.
Okay, but I'm eating whatever I want.
At night, at the diner.
This is disgusting. Let me have some of yours.
Hey!
Hey!
They make the same gesture.
Don't seem all that mad.
About what?
I wouldn't change anything.
Like the fact that we're still gonna have to fight Vince Kaczynski every week all through grade school?
Yeah.
And it will still be ugly through high school?
But not stupid.
And that we spend our college years as a chickless, dogless jerk with a twitch.
Still not have a family when we're 40.
Yeah. What's done is done.
Yeah.
But hey, this is our birthday, okay? Happy birthday, kid.
Cheers, kid.
They clink chocolate shakes. A golden retriever joins Rusty.
Hello, boy. How you doing? Who are you?
Jester, come on, boy.
The dog returns to a man in a red cap.
Did you hear what he just called his dog?
Jester.
They bolt from the booth. Outside.
Can that... Is that... No way.
Can't be.
The man in the cap walks to a red and white plane. Several people with a baby stroller wait by the plane's open door. They begin to board. The man in the cap turns back. Rusty steps forward. Mouth open. Russ follows. A gray-haired Russ, wearing a red cap, smiles at them both.
Like the old plane?
The biplane gleams on the tarmac.
Put that plane on my doorstep.
Yeah, I thought that was a particularly nice touch.
Yeah, it was.
I bet you got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. Got 30 years to figure them out. Right now, I gotta go. Family's waiting.
Older Russ looks back. A slender, dark-haired woman with glasses waits by the plane. Older Russ smiles at Russ, who tilts his head. Older Russ nods his head and grins, then looks to Rusty.
It was especially nice seeing you again.
Rusty beams.
I'll see you.
See ya.
Older Russ, in a battered flight jacket, takes the woman's arm. He looks back. Rusty holds up two fingers in a V. Older Russ touches his cap.
We did it.
The plane taxis off. The plane lifts off into the dark evening sky.
Look at us go.
Yeah, look at us go.
The plane banks in front of the full moon.
I am not a loser!
Hands overhead, Russ smiles. Rusty grins up at him. They look up. Moonlight bathes Russ's upturned face.
Look at us go.
Russ turns, wearing a gray jacket.
Kid.
Rusty is gone. The newer convertible is parked. He stands with bright white lights behind him.
Bye, kid.
He looks up.
Thanks.
At Russ's house, Janet enters.
Hello? I'm here. Russ? Russ?
Hi, Janet. I'm back here. I'll be on a second.
Hey, a couple of questions. Why am I not at the office? Why are you not at the office? And where have you been?
Did you call my dad?
Yes, I told him you'd be there Sunday to help him move. You almost had a heart attack, if that was your intention.
About the plane tickets to Hawaii.
I booked them, two first-class seats. You leave it, too.
Thank you. Got a pen? Change these names on here. Use my credit card.
He kisses her cheek.
Russ! I love it, I love it,
Aloha,
I love
Janet.
It, I love it. I love Hawaii.
Russ leaves. In the convertible, Russ drives down a tree-lined street. He turns into a steep driveway and parks. Amy opens her front door. He smiles. She leans against the door jamb. He reaches into the car. She takes a step forward. Russ walks up onto the porch, holding a puppy. She considers him, then reaches over and scratches the puppy's ear. Enters the house. He follows. Smiling, she closes the bright blue door. Words appear. The full moon sometimes looks orange when it rises because the light has to travel through more of the atmosphere than when the moon is high in the sky. The blue light waves scatter, but the red light waves make it through. Just in case you were wondering. Video description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com.
Face again.